Church, as was, but now Covenant Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And this morning, we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. We are transitioning now, whereas up till now, we have dealt with both who is God as God and Christ in his incarnation. Now we are transitioning in our look at the benefits that Christ gives to the church in their redemption. And we need to think about what is redemption and what is the purpose to which you have been saved. I've been having a conversation with a friend of mine where he likens most gospel presentations to summons to be spiritual gold diggers, that we're in it so that we can have a grand mansion next to grandma and, you know, spend an hour or two on Sunday at church, which is, and I'm talking in eternal life, not just now. Whereas when you look through the Bible, when it talks about eternal life, when it talks about the estate of salvation wherein we are brought by Christ, it is that we might have that sonship, that adoption, that that relationship with Christ. And so as we think about eternal life, let's stop thinking about it a continuous life without aging, which is how we normally think about it. Everything good without the downside of having to deal with gray hair and sores and pains that as you age. Instead, let us think about it in the proper light, which is the fullness of joy at Christ's right hand in his presence forevermore. So let's all that to frame as we're transitioning now from questions 29 through roughly 38. So these next set of questions are dealing with the state of salvation and how Christ procures it and how Christ applies it. How are we made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ? We are made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ by the effectual application of it to us by his Holy Spirit. This is why it's often talked about in terms of union with Christ, because we are united to him. And that it's not just a punctiliar action, it is talking about the whole experience where we are engrafted into him. We are made partakers of the redemption purchased by Christ by the effectual application of it to us by, so let's just stop there, effectual application of it to us. It's the height of summer here, and you go out and you apply sunscreen to that part of your body that you think is going to be exposed. And then you get home and you find the odd patterns where it is not. Where, oops, my shirt didn't cover that part of my arms that I thought it was. And so I have this extra little bit. Or, I didn't think about spraying the side of my leg. And so you get weird piebald type experiences. So we have ineffectual application of sunscreen being the typical way in which it's done, whereas the Spirit effectually applies the redemption purchased by Christ to us. But who's the us here? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And so we see that it's not those, his own there is talking of, in the context of John 1, it's talking about those who were also descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And largely, we're talking Judah and Benjamin and Levi, well, Simeon as well, but that's another case. But basically, what we think of as those living in Galilee and Judea, who call themselves Jews, even the term Jews comes from their descent from Judah. Not just, I'm not talking there Judah as in the tribe, but Judah as in the southern kingdom, because when the northern tribes were taken off into, deported by the Assyrians, they were largely assimilated in a manner that precludes, for the most part, finding out where the Naphtalites, where the Benjamin, where the Manassehites, the Ephraimites, they're there, but by and large, they have been completely absorbed through a multicultural assimilation, forced assimilation of the Assyrians, that you won't, you know, you can't go and say, oh, I've descended here, whereas with Judah, Benjamin, Simeon, and Levi, because when the Babylonians carted them off, they put them in colonies so that those colonies could come back. But that's just an aside. As we think about when he says he came to his own, he's talking about his co-ethnicists, those who are also from there. But they did not receive Christ, and that becomes the story throughout. Matter of fact, they reject him. But as many as received him, whether Jew or Gentile, to them Christ gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So ethnic descent ceases to be the key part of who is in, as it were, and now belief in his name becomes the signal from whatever tribe, kindred, tongue, language, and nation. And we're going to see that in the book of Revelation as well. You see that the great multitude surrounding the throne come from every tribe, kindred, tongue, language, and nation. But then later in the book of Revelation, we see those from every tribe, kindred, tongue, language, and nation are the great multitude who worship the beast. So therefore, it becomes an element of human existence that is an irrelevancy to the eternal fate, because it's not your ethnic descent, because we're all descended from Adam through Noah. But we are not all those who believe. But all those who believe, the Holy Spirit effectually applies the redemption purchased by Christ. And so let's think about the work of the Holy Spirit here. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that, having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so the Spirit is making us those partakers of Christ as he works out our salvation. And now we're going to start looking in the next upcoming questions about effectual calling and the benefits of Christ. But all of this, let us remember, is the work of Christ, and Christ drawing us into himself by his covenant with the Father that he now brings to us as we are united to him. And that's why, for example, we think of the covenant of works was made with Adam, and the covenant of grace was made with Christ. Because Christ, being the true and final heir by generation, by eternal generation, and we become sons and heirs of God by adoption. And so thank you for joining us, and join us next time as we continue our look at the shorter catechism. Thank you, and God bless.